Let's talk some baseball. We are joined by a World Series champion, a Cy Young Award winner, an 8-time All-Star, a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He will call tonight and tomorrow night's Twins and Red Sox game on MLB Network, plus Friday's Yankees at Red Sox game on both Facebook Watch and MLB Network. Of course, I'm speaking of John Smoltz. John, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Good. Good to have you, John. So you're on the call for the Twins and the Red Sox tonight, tomorrow on MLB Network. If we had gone back to the start of the season, John, everybody would have expected the Red Sox to be playing meaningful games in September. But how surprised are you that the Twins are where they are right now?
Yeah, I think they're probably the most unappreciated story of the year. They don't get a whole lot of national attention other than they're setting records offensively with their home runs. But they've been resilient. You know, the Cleveland Indians made their run, tied them with the division about 2.5 weeks ago. And I tell you what, when you dive in, I've not seen the Minnesota Twins in person. I'm getting a good look at them this week and diving into all the numbers and stats and videos. I mean, their offense is as good as anybody's. Their pitching staff's underappreciated. This is a very, very good baseball team. I know the focus in the American League has been on two primary teams, and rightfully so. The Houston Astros and New York Yankees are having special years, but I wouldn't want to match up and try to think that you have an advantage facing the Minnesota Twins, and any of those teams that have to face them in the first series are going to have their hands full. And I tell you what, they've done a nice job. First year manager, probably going to win Rookie of the Year. And, you know, the Twins are relevant again. And, you know, it's to show you, I mean, 1991 is a long time ago. I get it. But 1991, of course, when the Twins took us down, they had 140 home runs as a team. Now, I know we're in a different era and it's a different subject and it's all kinds of different reasonings. But they're going to hit over 300 home runs this year as a team. And they've got eight guys with 20 or more home runs. So they're not only can they hit home runs, but they don't strike out. That's a rare combination that we haven't seen in a long time. When you got that kind of power and the ability to put the ball in play, makes them doubly dangerous.
John Smoltz joining us. So not only do they hit home runs, John, as you point out, they broke the MLB single season record for home runs with a month to go in the season, and they don't strike out. They touched on this. Let me just follow up on it. Does their brand of baseball translate well to the postseason, or might scoring runs become a concern when they run into really good pitching in a series?
Well, yeah, I think anytime we haven't seen a team for the most part in a long time lead the league in home runs and win a World Series. But we haven't seen a team with this kind of combination of not striking out as much. Usually the strikeouts come with the homers. You know, Houston proved what you can do in 1 year when they eliminated, they went dead last in the most strikeouts in a year to the best and least amount of strikeouts. They won the World Series. All the team's recipes that have won World Series over the last few years usually put the ball in play. So, yeah, going up against elite pitching is going to be difficult for any team, but if you put more pressure on the opposing team by putting the ball in play, I think you can increase your chances of success. You know, 5, 6, 7 years ago when everyone talked about strikeouts didn't matter analytically, the analytics don't like to openly correct, but they've had to self-correct on strikeouts do matter, and you don't win championships with strikeouts in your lineup. So I think Minnesota's done a nice job. They've obviously increase their ability to hit the ball in the air, but they haven't sacrificed their strikeouts, which is really an amazing, amazing opportunity for their ball club if they continue to do that.
We're talking to Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Now, John, in terms of the Red Sox, obviously the season is not over until it's over, but they are 5.5 games out of a wild card spot. To you, does it feel like a team that can turn it around, go on a run, and steal a spot in the postseason?
You know, the resume and the history of last year certainly would tell you yes, but I just don't think they have the pitching right now. If you would have told me that Chris Sale and they, even if they were struggling but healthy, I'd say yes. I mean, it's a huge week. They've got the Twins and the Yankees, and the only way I look at and I'm sure the way they're looking at it, if you don't go at least 5-2 or 6-1, that's tough pressure to put on the last month of the season. So, yes, they've got a chance. They got to win 19 to 20 baseball games this year, this September, and hope that that some of the teams in front of them aren't able to stay at that pace because they got to jump too many teams. But playing the Yankees and the Twins, you're going to find out a lot this week about what the Boston Red Sox have left. Offensively, they can play with anybody. They can score 6-7 runs a game. It's just the pitching that hasn't been able to rebound from last year's incredible run, and the injury prevention obviously hasn't been great.
John Smoltz, Hall of Famer, and working with MLB Network, joining us once again. John, what about the Yankees? I mean, they have survived injury after injury, yet they're tied with the best record in baseball. What do you make of the depth of this team and how they've overcome all this adversity?
It really is amazing. You know, if I had to play a little bit glass half empty, the only thing I would say that would concern me a little bit is if you get to the end of the year and your guys are all clicking, that's great. But when you add back some of these guys that have been on injuries and they come back, you know, how does that work in the flow of their offense that has been clicking with seemingly anybody they plug in? That has been a special year that Boston had last year. It didn't matter who they put in. It seemed like whoever they got big hits. They won the World Series that way. And it seems like New York could ride that through this year. The difference is New York's pitching is not close to what Boston's pitching was last year. So they're going to have to rely heavily on their bullpen. They're going to have to, in my opinion, because their offense is so good and the pressure to get to their pen is going to be so heavy on Aaron Boone, no matter what the score is come the fifth inning, unless a guy's throwing a no-hitter, I don't know how a starter goes past five for the New York Yankees. And I think the biggest thing is going to be if they can have shorter series, they have a chance to win it all. But if they go deep into series after series after series having to use their bullpen, I think it just makes it much more difficult for their offense to keep slugging and their bullpen to keep pitching. So if they get Paxton hot, who's been great the last four or five starts, and they get another pitcher hot, whether it's Mendoza or whether it's Domingo or whether it's even Severino is able to piece together three innings in a series a couple times. It's going to be interesting because the pressure to me on Aaron Boone with this special year is how quickly does he use his bullpen? Because that's what they basically made their strength of their club in their bullpen. And that's going to be a lot of pressure on Aaron Boone to not want to go to it as quickly as he can.
And Severino made that first rehab start on Sunday. He threw 33 pitches in a Triple-A game. We're talking to John Smoltz. John, so Justin Verlander throws his third career no-hitter on Sunday. Not only that, though, John, he leads the American League in innings and ERA. He's tied for the lead in wins. He's just behind Gerrit Cole for strikeouts. I mean, how do you explain the fact that this guy is still doing this at age 36?
Well, you know, in this age of everybody giving everything you have as a starting pitcher, this is a guy everyone should be looking at if you're a young pitcher. He knows how to pitch. He's survived two different eras, if you will. He's got gears. He's got a gift that he can, you know, rev it up when he needs to, but he pitches. And, yes, he's going to give up some home runs this year. He's given up a lot of solo home runs. But he knows how to elevate the top of the strike zone. He gets down to the bottom. He hits all four quadrants. And I don't know the luxury of the greatness of the pitchers we have today if they're going to be given the chance to do what Justin Verlander's done, both longevity and the ability to pitch, because they're being taught to just throw with their stuff and max effort. Justin Verlander's not a max effort. He is truly a freak with his mechanics and the release point that he throws. Love watching him pitch. But I can't help but say if you're a young fireballer, if you're a guy with stuff, if you don't watch Justin Verlander and try to learn, I don't know how you can pitch 18, 15, 12 years in this game with max effort stuff all the time. He ended that game, I think, with a 96, 97 mile an hour fastball, which means you can't do that 1 through 9 maxing out and grunting. You got to have cruising velocity. You got to have the ability to step it up when you need to and spin the baseball. And that's what he's done since he's gone to Houston, and he's been healthier. Everyone forgets he was coming off an injury-plagued season. Everyone was kind of writing off Justin Verlander as a guy who's fallen off the cliff. His velocity was down. He came back from an injury probably sooner than he should have, and, you know, the team was going in a different direction. Here he gets this rebirth, goes to Houston. They show him a couple things with his release point and his ability to throw his slider again, and it's lights out. I mean, it's 1-2 Verlander-Cole, like, we haven't seen in a long time. So that's why the Houston Astros have such an advantage when you talk about a deep run because of their rotation.
We're talking to John Smoltz. So, John, one quick follow to that. If you look at that 1-2, Verlander, Cole, and then you add Zach Greinke, I mean, you were part of some absolutely nasty rotations. How does Houston's compare to the best ones that you were part of?
Well, you know, everyone gets all bent out of shape when I say, you know, they've got way better stuff than we'll ever have had, and it's the truth. If you'd align those guys up on a street ball and try to pick who would you pick between us and them, you're going to pick them. But we just proved over the course of time and consistency, and we were able to stay healthy, and we pitched in a different era. So it's really tough to compare, but it's not a comparison when it comes to stuff. Their stuff's just that much better. I mean, you're talking about guys who can throw four-seam fastballs in 96, 97, 98 and spin a breaking ball as good as anybody. And they couple it with command. It's not like the new age where you just throw it and you're going to get your high walks, homers, and strikeouts, three true outcomes. So, you know, from a consistency standpoint, you know, we were able to do it and do it well for a long time. And these guys, they just have made, you know, embarrassment of riches. And it's a credit to their organization for recognizing, you know, that they've gotten majority of their stud pitching on one team. And that's really what you've seen in this rebuild kind of haves and have-nots baseball, is teams have kind of put together a formula for success, and it seems to be on four teams rather than spread out around the league. You know, the Mets have, the Nationals, tremendous staffs. Of course, the Dodgers, Houston, Cleveland had put together a tremendous staff when you're talking about five guys. So, you know, Houston to me is still the team to beat. I know the New York Yankees are having an incredible season, and they're probably going to, you know, they could very well have the best record. But because of what Houston can do in their rotation and what you have to do to beat them, you're going to have to find a way to be very economical in the lack of contact that you're going to probably see. You know, when you're talking about 14 to 15 strikeouts, not every single time, but on average for the Houston Astros, they only have to cover 12 outs in the field. So that's why missing bats, and that's why putting the ball in play, they have the best combination, I think, between the pitching strikeouts and hitter strikeouts, meaning they don't strike out as much as hitters, but they strike out the most as pitchers. That's a pretty good gap when you're putting together a chance to win, you know, a long run in a postseason.
He is a World Series champion, a Cy Young Award winner, an eight-time All-Star, a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And remember, John Smoltz will call tonight and tomorrow night's Twins at Red Sox game on MLB Network. Also, Friday's Yankees at Red Sox game on both Facebook Watch and MLB Network. John, great to have you back. I really appreciate that conversation. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks for having me.
Good stuff. John Smoltz joining us. All right, so we've hit the college weekend. We've hit some NFL. We've hit some Major League Baseball.